الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says: Al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. The clever one is he who subjugates his nafs, who subjugates his base desires, who controls his nafs, who controls his base desires and lawful desires. وَعَامِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and prepares for that life which is after death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a limited period of time. Nobody has come into this world, or nobody will come into this world to remain in it forever and ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends people into this world because this world is Darul Amal. It is the place of Amal. This is where we are tested. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us favors and tests us whether we are grateful for his favors or not. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send adversities upon us and tests whether we are patient or not. So this world is Darul Amal, place where we are tested. And the Akhirah is Darul Jaza, place where we will be rewarded, we will be retributed for the Amal that we carry out in this world. So this worldly life is temporary, and the life hereafter, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for the good we do, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish us for the wrong we do, that is everlasting. So there are two worlds, this world which we live in, which is called dunya, and the hereafter, where we will reach after we die, which is called akhirah. this world is temporary, the akhirah is everlasting. So if you compare the quantity of both worlds, there is no comparison. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. And in the long gone days, 300 years, 400 years, 500 years, 1000 years. But whether we live in this world for 50 years or 500 years or 5000 years, because this world is temporary, the worldly life is limited, the worldly life is definite. In comparison to the life hereafter, which is everlasting, which is permanent, which is indefinite, this worldly life is nothing. So in quantity, this worldly life is nothing in comparison to the life hereafter. And in quality also, this worldly life is nothing in comparison to the life hereafter. In the gathering last week, we touched on this subject, that the quality of the hereafter is far more better than the quality of this worldly life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنِيَا تَعْدِلُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوذَةً. This is the quality, this is the worth, this is the value of this worldly life. The whole world, lawkanati dunya, the whole world, ta'dilu indallahi janaha ba'udah. If it was equal, if the worth of the whole world, if the value of the whole world was equal to the wing of a mosquito, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to this insignificant value, would not have given a sip of water to that individual who rejects him. So if this worldly life, the whole world, which we live in, the whole world, gold, silver, rubies, all put together, mansions, all the expensive things that we see in this world, factories, shops, if the whole world, the valuable items of the whole world, all those things that a human strives for, if all this equaled a wing of a mosquito, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَةً, if it had even the slightest value, this is the meaning of the hadith, if it had even the slightest value, that means Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this world has no value. If the whole world does not have value, then what value £10,000 and $10,000 will hold in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If the whole world does not hold any value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what will 10 kilos of gold, what value will 10 kilos of gold hold in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If the whole world does not hold any value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what will a mansion, what will a large estate, what will a country, what will a continent, What value will a continent hold in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this world has no value whatsoever in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this world is fani. This world will perish one day. This world is only temporary. It is only to keep us going until the grave, and it is only to keep the humanity going until the day of Qiyamah. No value whatsoever. If it had the least value, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying that if it had the least value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given the one who rejects him food. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given the one who rejects him even a sip of water. So if this world had the least value, then imagine the value of a sip of water. So if this world had the least value, then imagine the whole world, it has the least value, very insignificant value. Then what will be the value of a sip of water? Despite that, if this world had any value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have granted the one who rejects him, the one who does not believe in him, a sip of water. But because this world does not have any value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give his rejecters only a sip of water or a few sips of water or a few glasses of water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them millions and billions and trillions. This is how insignificant this world is, the quality of this world. And the Akhirah, the value of Akhirah, Allahu Akbar. Everlasting, every ni'mat, every favor, every bounty will reach the highest peak of perfection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi Wasallam mentions a hadith Qudsi wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Adattu li'ibadiyya salihin." I have prepared for my pious servants, I have prepared for those who dedicate their lives to me, those who dedicate their vigor to me, those who dedicate their youth to me, those who dedicate their wealth to me. Everything that I have granted them, whilst utilizing those favors, first they ask themselves, is what I am about to do pleasing to my Creator or displeasing? If it is pleasing, they do. If it is displeasing, they stay away from it. These are my pious servants, good servants, obedient servants, loyal servants. What have I prepared for them in the hereafter? Dunya is valueless. Dunya is valueless and hereafter is priceless. عَدَتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. What no eye has seen, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِيَتْ. What no ear has heard, وَلَا خَتَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرْ. And what no heart and mind has thought of. This is the quality of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, وَقْرَوْا إِنْ شَيْتُمْ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows what is hidden for him. No soul knows what is hidden for those people who will be granted entry into Jannah. For the dwellers of Jannah, what is hidden? What ne'mats, what bounties are hidden? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So as far as value is concerned, as far as quality is concerned, there is a vast difference. Dunya is valueless. No value, it doesn't have any value. And akhirat is priceless. Full of value. And quantity. Quantity. After we depart from this world, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Kam labistum fil ardi adada sinin. For how long did you stay in the world? We will look back and we will say, Labisna yawman aw ba'da yawmin. We stayed in the world for one day or part of a day. So one day or part of a day, that is how small this worldly life is. And the life hereafter, everlasting. No comparison, everlasting. Not million years, not billion years, not trillion years, and countless years. For eternity people will live, countless years. You cannot count them, innumerable years. For eternity people will live. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that if the space between the earth and the heavens was filled with pebbles, and if after 1000 years a pebble was removed, imagine how long it will take to empty this space. If we fill this prayer hole of the Islamic Dawah Academy with pebbles, and after 1000 years a pebble is removed, imagine how long it will take to empty this hole. So the space between the earth and the heaven, if it is filled with pebbles, and one pebble is removed after every 1000 years, imagine how long it will take. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that a time will come when the space between the heaven and the earth will be emptied, but the life hereafter will not end. That is how long the life hereafter is. Because, and even if this space was filled twice, thrice, four times, and if it was emptied by removing one pebble every 1000 years, the life hereafter will not come to an end, because it is for eternity. So the quality of the hereafter is far more better than the quality of this world, this worldly life. The ne'mats there, blessings there, the quality is far more better than the quality of the ne'mats here. And quantity, the life hereafter is far more better in quantity also than this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The hereafter is better than this world as far as quality is concerned. وَأَبْقَى. And it will remain for more longer. So it is better than this world as far as quantity is concerned. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi gives an example. He says that you are given a choice between two homes. A very simple house worth £25,000, £30,000, and you are homeless. You and your family don't have a home. So you are given a choice between two homes. One is worth £25,000, £30,000. and the other is worth 1 million pounds. And the owner of these homes gives you a choice and he says that if you take this house, the cheaper one, which is worth 20,000, 25,000, 30,000 pounds, then it is yours for eternity. For as long as you are alive, for as long as your children are alive, for as long as their children are alive, it's your family home. It will become yours. And if you go into this 1 million pound home, you can stay in there for 5 years. After 5 years, you're back on the road. Which house will he choose? An intelligent person, which house will he choose? He will choose the cheaper house. So, an intelligent person, when he is given a choice between two things, one is everlasting and the other is temporary, he will choose the everlasting despite it being inferior in quality. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a choice between this worldly life and the life of the hereafter. The worldly life which is temporary, the life of the hereafter which is everlasting. But the life hereafter is not inferior to this worldly life, it is superior to this worldly life. So what does the intellect demand? Which life should we choose? It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Kayyisu Man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. So if we remove man dana nafsahu, then the hadith reads, Al-Kayyisu man amila lima ba'd al-maut. The clever one is he who strives for that life which is after death. Because in quantity it is better than this world, in quality it is better than this world. So he is the clever one. So the message is Al-Kayyisu Man Amila Lima Ba'd al-Maut. The clever one is he who strives for that life which is after death. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very merciful towards his followers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful towards his servants. So within this statement, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also guides us towards that point which will help us in preparing for the life hereafter. The actual message is Al-Kayyisu Man Amila Lima Ba'd al-Maut. The clever one is he who prepares for the life after death. But then the question will arise that how can I prepare for the life here, life after death? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave that question. He said the clever one is he who controls his nafs, and as a result of controlling his nafs, who prepares for the life after death. So the clever one is he who prepares, who strives for the life after death, and the method of preparing for the life after death is controlling the nafs. Controlling the nafs from engaging in unlawful desires. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said that Jannat is only 2 steps away. You take the first step and you put it on your base desires. You put it on your unlawful desires, and your second step will be in Jannah. So when a person controls his nafs, that is preparing for the life hereafter. Controlling the nafs. And controlling the nafs does not mean that you subjugate the nafs to such an extent that it cannot even enjoy permissible things. No. La rahmaniyata fil Islam. La sarurata fil Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has prohibited a person from exaggerating in controlling the nafs. And he said, Inna li nafsika alayka haqqa, your nafs also has right upon you. Control your nafs from engaging in impermissible enjoyments. And once you do that, you are ready to go in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Let us all prepare for the life hereafter. And it's very simple. Carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And categorize the do's and the don'ts into two categories. One category is compulsory do's and compulsory don'ts. What are the compulsory do's? Farais and wajibat. And what are the compulsory don'ts? Haram and makruhat tahrimiyya. So compulsory do's and don'ts. Preparing for the hereafter is carrying out the do's and staying away from the don'ts. They are in two categories. One is compulsory do's and don'ts. You have no choice. Farz you must carry out. Wajib you must carry out. Haram you must abstain from. Makruh tahrimi you must abstain from. And if you make a mistake, then repentance is compulsory. Repent. Say to Allah that I have made a mistake. Oh Allah, I will not do it again. The second category is voluntary do's and voluntary don'ts. Makruhi tanzihi is voluntary don't. Makruhi tanzihi, stay away from this. If you stay away, Allah will reward you. If you don't stay away, Allah will not punish you. So voluntary don't. And voluntary do's, sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil. Do's and the don'ts. When a person exerts effort in trying to carry out the do's and the don'ts, compulsory do's and the don'ts, and voluntary do's and the don'ts, that person weakens his base desires. That is how nafs comes under control. That is how you subjugate the nafs. In the initial stages, the nafs is tough, it's not subjugated, so it will jump here and there and it will be difficult to get hold of it. But once you get hold of the nafs, once it is on the floor, and once you are sitting on its chest, or once you have handcuffed it, once you have tied it, then the same amal will become very easy for you. Because there is no challenge. So this is what we need to do. Carry out the do's, abstain from the don'ts. And don't confine to the compulsory do's and don'ts also. In order to subjugate nafs, put more pressure on nafs by carrying out the voluntary do's and abstaining from the voluntary don'ts. Carry out as many sunnats as possible. Carry out as many nawafil as possible. Carry out many mustahabbat as possible. And when a person engages in voluntary do's and don'ts, when a person engages in trying to stay away from voluntary don'ts and trying to carry out the voluntary do's, then his spiritual stamina increases and it becomes easy to carry out the compulsory do's and to abstain from the compulsory don'ts. And in order to make the do's and don'ts easy, a person has to do two things. Number one, excessive zikr. And number two, stay away from wrong environment and wrong company, and stay in good environment and good company. This is the whole structure. The clever one is he who prepares for the life hereafter. How do you prepare for the life hereafter? By carrying out the do's and abstaining from the don'ts. Compulsory do's, compulsory don'ts. Voluntary do's, voluntary don'ts. Carry out the compulsory do's, stay away from the... Carry out the compulsory do's, carry out the voluntary do's. Stay away from the compulsory don'ts and stay away from the voluntary don'ts. Come what may. And if you make an error in the first category, the compulsory do's and don'ts, we make tawbah. And in order to get a grip on the do's and the don'ts, we have to do two things. Number one, excessive zikr. Excessive zikr. And number two, staying away from bad environment and bad company and adopting good environment and good company. This is straightforward. Stay away from bad environment and stay away from bad company. Stay in good environment, stay in good company. A person could be in a very good environment like the masjid, but with bad company. Bad company, chatting away with somebody whose company is not good for us in the masjid. And a person could be with good company, 4 or 5 pious young men, but in wrong company, in wrong environment. So, stay away from wrong company, wrong environment, stay in good company, good environment. And nowadays, when we use our social media, our mobile, our internet, we could end up in wrong company and wrong environment there also. So one has to be very careful. One should not feel that I am in the safe, good environment of my home. No. When one can be reading something which may be wrong company and wrong environment. Because just as wrong company and wrong environment motivates us to do wrong things, social media, internet, what we read, the material we read, the material we look at, whether it's hard copy or soft copy, it can entice us and change our thinking and take us in the wrong direction. And number two, excessive zikr. Excessive zikr. Those of us who are associated and affiliated to an expert, a sheikh, we need to take guidance from him. And slowly, 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 slowly increase in zikr so that we may make our hearts and minds zakir. So majority of the time we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which do's and don'ts will become easy. And those of us who have yet to find a sheikh or associate ourselves to a sheikh, then whilst looking to connect with an expert sheikh, we should daily recite the Quran with punctuality. Allocate a quantity and recite daily. Number two, daily read Kalimah Tayyiba 100 times. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. 100 times istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. 300 times durud-e paak. Salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are able to recite the durud that we read in salat, it is even more better. If we cannot read that durud 100 times, then read it 5 times, 7 times, 11 times, and then complete the 100 with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the short one. And thereafter, when we are free, whilst driving, whilst sitting, whilst walking, whilst lying down, for as long as we are awake, we should busy ourselves with extra remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever comes in our mind, if third kalima comes on the tongue, then recite third kalima. If istighfar comes on the tongue, then istighfar. If salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes on the tongue, then salat ala nabi sallallahu. Excessive zikr. Those of us who are affiliated to a sheikh, even we should not just confine ourselves to the azkar prescribed for us. If we have more time, we should do more zikr. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will prepare for the life hereafter by carrying out the do's, abstaining from the don'ts. And in order for one to be able to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts, two things are necessary. Number one, excessive zikr. And number two, staying away from wrong environment, wrong company, staying in good company and good environment. And excessive zikr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your tongue should remain moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So daily recite Quran, daily read the azkar that I have mentioned, and masnoon du'as, masnoon supplications, du'a before eating, du'a after eating, du'a before entering the lavatory, when coming out of the lavatory. These are all azkar. Saying alhamdulillah when sneezing, this is zikr also. And whenever faced with anything, one should turn to Allah and speak to Him and say, oh Allah, I'm going home. Even if it is not difficult, oh Allah, I'm leaving the masjid to go home, make me reach with safety. When you are going to the shop, say to Allah that, oh Allah, I'm going to the shop to buy something, make it easy for me. Sometimes you find difficulty in finding the thing that you're looking for. You go to one shop, it's sold out. You go to another shop, it's sold out. You go to a third shop, it's sold out. So ask Allah to help you. You might go to the first shop and you will buy something for £5, whereas it was being sold for £3 in another shop. So say to Allah that, oh Allah, help me. Make it easy for me. So learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also zikr. Before starting lesson, the student should make dua within their heart that, oh Allah, make this lesson easy for me. Keep me alert, keep me awake, keep me fully attentive, and oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to pay attention and understand the lesson properly. And make dua for your teacher also, oh Allah, make it very easy for my respected teacher also. Excessive zikr. Connect yourself to Allah somehow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the final moments easy for us. I was visiting my dear friend Suleiman Bhai Ali after Maghrib Salat. And his wife has been in her final moments since last Wednesday. The doctors have said there is nothing we can do. But it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He decides to call the soul back. So we were sitting in the room next door. She is in an unconscious state. But whilst engaged in conversation, we could hear after every 5 minutes, 6 minutes, her saying very loudly, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So there is grief that somebody is passing away. But for those people who understand the concept of deen and the concept of life, happiness outweighs the grief. And a person says to himself that, may Allah grant her death in this very state. And never look down upon anybody. A simple housewife, a simple lady. And in this state, she must have recited the kalima dozens of times. Dozens of times. And Suleiman Bhai was saying that very seldom she utters something else which we don't understand. It's all kalima all the time. Very seldom she says something else which we don't understand, but we know that she is talking about something else. But as soon as she finishes that sentence, immediately she follows it up with La ilaha illallah. So there is no need for talqeen. Because the mas'ala is, there is a dying person, recites the kalima, then after that you don't do talqeen. And thereafter if the dying person talks about worldly matters, then you start talqeen again. and you continue doing the talqeen and motivating that person by reciting ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu until that person, once that person recites, then you stop again. But there is no need for talqeen. As soon as she speaks about something else, Sudhamma says immediately she follows it up with la ilaha illallah. And in a state of unconsciousness. Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allahu Akbar Kabira. And in the room we could hear me, Maulana Ahmed Sahib. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all, her also and all of us, a good departure with Kalimah Tayyiba, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being happy with us, smiling at us, and making us smile at the time of death. And may Allah make Qabr easy for us. May Allah make the day of Qiyamah easy for us. This will all happen if we strive. If we strive. If we try. Even if we fail, we should be in a position to say to Allah that, oh Allah, I tried. We will not fail, inshallah. If we try, we will not fail. Man jadda wajada. One who strives, succeeds. But even if we fail, we should be able to say, oh Allah, I tried. I was weak, but I tried. Try to sit in the company of the ulama. Try to sit in the company of the mashayikh. And listen very carefully to their advices and try to follow the advice. Even in simple things, even in insignificant matters. There are no insignificant matters as far as deen is concerned, but sometimes we feel that, oh, it's only sunnah, it's only mustahab, oh, it's only nafar. No, we shouldn't think that way. Who knows that the four sunnah muakkada that you have performed were not accepted by Allah? The four faraiz you had performed were not accepted by Allah. The two sunnat you had performed were not accepted by Allah. And with the last two rakats, two nafal of zuhr that you performed, it was accepted by Allah. And Allah said to the angels that, I'm so happy with these two rakats, and forgive my zarwari. Only Allah knows. So we should be greedy. That this amal may become a turning point in my life, so I won't do this. We should feel the need, that I am needy. I am needy for everything I do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.